Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 281 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, this is the second of two podcasts this week to preview Friday's state cross country meet in Fort Dodge. On Monday, I visited with some coaches and runners from the Ankeny teams, and tonight we'll be focusing on the Ankeny Centennial squads. Later on, I'll be talking to Centennial girls coach Eric Cogdill. But right now, my first two guests are the individual qualifiers for the Centennial boys team. To my left is a junior who placed fourth in the state qualifying meet last Wednesday at Marshalltown with a time of 15 minutes 49 seconds. He's Cohen Moll. Cohen, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing all right. And to my right is a senior who finished 12th at the state qualifying meet. He had a time of 16:14. He's Braden Vanderwill. Braden, thanks for coming in today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Well, typically I interview people one at a time on the podcast, but I thought I'd talk to both of you at the same time today since you came in together and kind of bounce some questions back and forth of you. So we'll try that and see how it goes. Well, we've had some crazy weather today. Cohen, were you able to get a workout in today or did you have to bail because of the rain?
As a team, we just decided to work out indoors today, just on treadmills. So we just got an easy day in today, not too much.
Well, Braden, will that affect what you guys do tomorrow, or is that supposed to be a day of rest for you guys anyway?
Tomorrow is just mostly like pre-meet stuff, which is an easy day, but it shouldn't impact us too much.
Well, let's talk about the state qualifying meet. Cohen, you ran with that lead pack for much of the race, and you finished just 17 seconds behind the winner, Preston Johnson of Marshalltown. So you were pretty happy with the race, weren't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, and then that was your sixth top 10 finish of the season, and you're now ranked 21st in the final Class 4A rankings. You've obviously had a great season and have really become a leader for the team. Going into the season, did you feel like you were primed to have the kind of year that you've had?
Yeah, I think so. From the beginning, I wasn't really sure who would come out on top between me and Braden, but I see now that even though Braden's very far behind.
Right. Well, yeah, you probably had no idea how your teammates were doing, during the race the other day, but Braden, you might have had a little better idea as the race was progressing. What was going through your mind during the race? Did you know that your team was in jeopardy of not qualifying, and did you start thinking about maybe what you had to do to qualify as an individual?
Well, I didn't really see what was going on for my team, mostly. I did notice that Davis was no longer next to me. I saw him at the beginning of the race kind of fly down past me on a hill. I ended up passing him not too long after that, and then never saw him again. And when I crossed the finish line with the big pack that I was with, I noticed how he wasn't right behind me and that a lot of people were finishing ahead of Jack, Mm-hmm. He was usually our number five.
Right.
And that's when I kind of realized that I didn't think we were going to get in. We got fourth, and we did.
Well, yeah, I'm guessing, you had to be happy to know that you had qualified as an individual, but then when the team results came in and you found out that your team placed fourth and you finished just 7 points behind Marshalltown, was it kind of a bittersweet? Was it a little bit of a tough ride home for you guys?
I definitely was happy to qualify, but I also had to subdue it because a lot of my teammates were upset with their performances and felt like they let us all down, which they didn't. It's a team effort.
Sure.
It's no one's fault. But yeah, it was a very silent ride home, one that we were expecting to be celebrating, and we were just kind of somebody sitting there.
Sure. Well, let's preview the state meet now. The boys' race will be held on Friday at 2:45 p.m. following the girls' race. The forecast is calling for a better day than today. We're supposed to have a high temperature of about 60 with sunny skies, so that sounds like perfect weather to run in. Are those the kind of conditions that you guys like?
Yeah, I definitely perform better in much less warm weather, kind of like around where it's going to be on Friday.
How about you, Braden?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, especially after what happened last year with how bad the conditions were there. Not that I'm saying that was the reason I ran as poorly as I did that year, but I'm definitely looking forward to better conditions for the state meet.
Well, you guys just ran on this course 3 weeks ago at the Fort Dodge Invitational. You helped your squad to a fourth place finish there among 28 teams. Cohen, you placed a 16th in a time of 16:04, and Braden finished 26th in 16:27. So you guys are pretty familiar with this course. Cohen, what's the key to having a good race up there? We need to try to get out fast in order to be in front of a lot of that traffic.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely need to get out hard and find a good spot. But finishing just as strong as you started is also just as important, if not more, to have a good race and finish well.
well, it's such a large field that I know in a lot of races, you know, you can maybe look for certain competitors that you should be running alongside, but, you know, that may be tough to do on Friday. Braden, will you be looking for any other runners, you know, in particular, or are you just going to try to go out there and run your race?
I mean, usually I just try to focus on myself. Like, sometimes I look ahead to see who will usually be around me, but when it comes to the actual race, anything can happen. So I just try to run my race, catch the people who I can catch, and just finish the race as well as I can.
Well, I'd assume that you guys would be lined up next to each other. So, Braden, can you maybe, you know, key off of Cohen a little bit and try to stay within striking distance of him?
I'm definitely going to try to stick with him at the beginning of the race because I feel like he always gets out pretty well and gets himself in a good position. So I'm definitely going to need to be with him in that.
Well, this will be the second state meet appearance for both of you guys. Of course, last year your team qualified and placed 14th. Cohen, you finished in 70th place with a time of 16:40. You know, and now that you are ranked 21st, what is your goal for the race? Do you feel like, you know, you could contend for a top 15 finish that would get you on the awards podium?
Yeah, I definitely think that I still have a chance at placing top 15, but I know that it's definitely going to be a challenge come Friday because of how many people, like, there are so competitive and so skilled. It's definitely going to be a fight for that spot.
Well, Braden, you mentioned your race last year that you were disappointed in. You placed 89th in a time of 16:58, and this will obviously be the last race of your high school career. You know, what's your goal for Friday? Would you be happy with, like, a top 40 finish?
Yeah, definitely a top 40 finish, and just basically running better than I did last year. Last year, I feel like I got out way too light. I got caught in the back, and when it comes to the state, they don't really come back like they would at Fort Dodge. They keep going, so, you know, I'm trying to get out to a better position. I'm stronger now. So hopefully that can get me to the top 40 finish I want.
Well, since you guys aren't involved in the team race, you know, does that maybe take a little bit of the pressure off of you since you're basically just running for yourself? You know, Cohen, does that change your mental approach at all?
Yeah, it could. You could say that it impacts it a little bit, but I think it's more of a negative because, like, we're such a close team and we have such a tight bond that it's definitely going to be a different feeling going in and having only two of us on that starting line instead of all of us.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's nice to have, you know, the teammates' support. You know, Braden, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like it could be a negative too?
Yeah, I mean, the only positive really is that it's not as much pressure as you would feel with a team. But, like, yeah, again, like Cohen said, just that bond that you have, the fact that we're in this together and we're all going to go through it, that we made it here because we deserve to be there. It's just, you know, kind of humbling to sit there and realize because they're all watching you on the sideline. And, you know.
Sure. Well, of course, Anthony's Ethan Zuber is the defending champion. You guys have been running against him for a long time. I had him on the podcast Monday, and he talked about the duel that he expects to have with Jaden Merrick of Cedar Falls, who was the runner-up last year and is ranked number two behind Zuber. So, Cohen, do you expect Ethan to go for the lead and try to pull away like he did last year? And would you like to see, you know, your crosstown rival win the race?
I'm not, like, cheering for anybody in particular, but I definitely think it's going to be a fight between them. Like, as soon as the gun goes off, I know they're already going to be battling to get to the lead and, like, fight, like, the rest of the race.
Can you kind of key off of those guys as far as how fast you need to go?
Yeah, I think I expect the lead pack to go out and sort of stick with them just so they can get a good start. But I know they'll break away pretty early on.
Well, Braden, how about you? You're in the same class as Ethan, so you've probably raced against, you know, him over the years, you know, more than Cohen has. Do you expect him to try to set the pace, and would you like to see him, you know, win that duel with Merrick?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like Cohen said, I don't really have an opinion of who wins, but if Zuber wins, I'm going to feel good for him no matter what, because rival or not, it's from Ankeny.
Sure.
But what was the question?
Oh, I just asked you if you felt like, you know, you'd want to see him win if it came down to those two guys. But, yeah, you kind of answered that already. So, well, even though your team won't be running on Friday, I did want to get your guys' thoughts on the team race. Top-ranked Dallin Catholic is the three-time defending champion. It kind of looks like on paper that them and number two Cedar Falls might be, you know, the top contenders, and Cedar Falls might be the only team, you know, capable of beating them. You know, Cohen, do you think the Maroons are going to win the title again?
Based off of what we've been seeing this season, they have probably one of the strongest packs, like, up front, and I definitely think that they're gonna have a pretty strong finish, and they have a chance of taking the title.
Well, they certainly have that tradition. And Braden, you've been running against, you know, those Dallin guys like Jack Flory and Owen Wolf throughout your career. Would you like to see your conference rival bring home another trophy, or is it not really something you're even thinking about?
Not really something I'm thinking about. Like, mostly what I'm thinking about is what I have to do to run as best I possibly can, and just try not to waste my last opportunity in a race, because sometimes I forget this is, in fact, my last cross-country race with the Jaguars. So, trying to end on a good note.
Well, Brayden Cohen told me for the Prep of the Week feature a week ago that, you know, he's considering his options for running in college. Have you made any plans to do so, and do you know what you want to study in college?
Right now, I am undecided in college, but I am planning to visit Central to run with the Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
But if that doesn't happen, I would be going to Iowa State just to study. But I would also be running in the running club if I got the opportunity to do that.
Gotcha. And what do you think about studying?
Mostly, like, either architecture or some science-related field.
Gotcha. Well, I went to Iowa State. I can tell you it's a good school. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to have to hurry back for your race on Friday in order to catch the Centennial football playoff game at 5:30. Will you guys be coming back for the game, or maybe you guys have other plans like going out to eat or something?
Well, we're hoping to just take the day off. We'll see if we have any plans afterwards, but either way, we'll just be celebrating like a good season, and we'll be hanging out with our team.
Yeah, you just want to get through the race, right, Brayden?
Right. I mean, not gonna lie, the football game didn't even cross my mind. But, you know, yeah, like Cohen said, I feel like we're just going to focus on us for the afternoon and football team the next week if they make it, which hopefully they do.
Well, it should be a fun race and good weather. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be up there on Friday. Well, good luck, guys. I'll see you up there.
Good. Thank you.
You bet. All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny, near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, my final guest tonight is the longtime head coach of the 4th-ranked Centennial girls team, and he has guided the Jaguars to state for the 11th time in the 12-year history of the program. He is Eric Cogman. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, hey, we had to dodge some rain today. Were you guys able to get in much of a workout?
It's a pretty neat workout, so it wasn't anything major or intense. Just, you know, making sure the legs are sharp and get a couple miles in. And we had an activity planned, and we just flipped it to the front of the practice, and the storms cleared off, and we were able to run under a little bit of sprinkles.
Well, congratulations on making it to state again. Your team won its 4th straight state qualifying meet last Wednesday at Marshalltown with 29 points. You guys finished 19 points ahead of Dallas Center Grimes. You know, you had to feel pretty good about that performance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a celebration to make state. That's hard to do. And then to win a qualifier is harder still. The girls ran very well. Really happy to see Annika and Haley just execute amazing race plans to go second and third. And then Ellie and Bella and Julia to come in as a three-pack at 7, 8, 9 was really reassuring to see them kind of pack run. And Trinity did a nice job as well, individually qualifying. And our seventh runner, Kylie Patterson, had a little bit of a bloody nose issue and stuff and wasn't quite 100% herself, but she's kind of got that taken care of and is excited for Friday as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Annika. She placed second in a time of 17:57 while breaking her own school record once again. You know, she's just having a great year, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a driven girl, really neat kid, kind of came out of the woodwork. You know, she was 10th or 11th on her 8th grade team, and she just kind of set about to never take the easy path. She just mentioned that, you know, in summer runs, that very first summer, I'd say, okay, freshman, let's go 3 to 5 miles, and she said, I'd always pick 5. After that first year, she's like, well, Rondi needs a training partner. I don't like seeing her training by herself. I'm going to get better enough to catch up and run with Rondi. And, of course, Rondi ran at Tennessee for a year. Annika ended up beating her a couple times that next season. And she's just, the next year, another step. The next year, senior year, another step. And she has done some remarkable stuff.
Like you mentioned, you guys had 5 runners in the top 10. Haley was 3rd. And like you said, L.A. Bella and Julia finished 7, 8, 9. You know, so you got to feel like this team is maybe peaking at the right time.
Yeah, they're running very well. We've always seemed to run very, very well at the state qualifying meet, and it's kind of just the nature of our system. We don't want it to be our best meet. Some years it has been. And so we'll see how they perform this next week. We really don't feel like there's a lot of pressure this year. There have been some years where they felt kind of anxious about things or overwhelmed even at times. And it just hasn't set in this year, and I don't think it's going to. I think they're in a good spot, and they're running very well.
Well, let's preview the state meet now. The girls' meet will begin at 2 p.m. on Friday up there at Fort Dodge, with the boys' race to follow at 2:45. And it sounds like the forecast is going to be better than what it is today. It's supposed to be like about 60 with sunny skies. I mean, can't complain about that.
Yeah, it looks to be really nice. I've seen the wind speed has even kind of trickled down a little bit, which is fantastic. It's kind of hovering around 9 to 10 miles an hour instead of 14, which isn't bad either. Those upper 50s are just, you know, perfection type of running weather.
Well, your team appears to have a good chance to place at the top five for the third time in 5 years. You guys, of course, placed the third in 2020, which was the program's highest finish ever. And then in 2022, your team placed fourth. You know, I'm sure the ultimate goal is to come home with another trophy, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be magnificent to have that happen for us. It takes a special day. You've got to have your top five or six all run very well and not really have a hiccup. And we've talked with the girls about that in the past, that you just got to go out and do what you've done before. Just prove that the last meet wasn't an accident, or the season wasn't an accident. You don't have to do anything magical or special. That's just not going to happen for people. And when you squeeze, oftentimes you get squeezed back and it ends up not working out for you. So I feel like that is a goal for us, to come home with another trophy, a top three finish. The three teams in front of us, they're good teams. They're really good.
Well, let's break down those teams. I know you're probably going to start talking about them. So,
sure.
Number two, Johnston, is the defending champion, but Pleasant Valley is currently the number one team. Both of those teams were really dominant in winning their state qualifying meets, scoring fewer than 20 points, which, for those of you who don't follow cross country, the lower your score, the better. You know, so do you feel like it's basically a two-team race for the title?
You know, it's tricky like that. So just a fun tidbit, if you score 27 or less, if you take the other eight schools and combine them into one super team, you still win the meet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how good and how dominant they were. And honestly, our girls with 29 was right on that threshold. Pleasant Valley, really, really good. They don't have like that standout all-star. Right now, Johnston's kind of got the one girl,
mm-hmm.
Wish I can remember her name.
Yeah, Woodley.
Yep, Alex Woodley. She's a top five favorite individually. But then you look over at Pleasant Valley, and they've got Honey Wiedemeyer, who moved there from City High, and Grace Boleyn.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both veterans, they're both seniors. They're probably going to finish in the top 15, which is a good standard. Last year, PV had five girls finish in the top, I think, 32 overall, and they ended up fourth, which is unbelievable. They were 4 points out of third, and then three more points the second, and there's only 10 more points the first. It was just a really tight race last year. They both have the ability to put five girls under 19 minutes. Used to be five girls under 20 minutes, you'd end up with a trophy. So they're right there. And then Dubuque Senior, to be honest, they look really tough as well. They've got another girl that'll be a top 10 finisher with Emma Chesterman. And then they just keep rattling out girls as well. Five more that can probably go under 19. And the thing that strikes me about all three of those teams is they have a sixth runner as well. So even if one has a bad day, they've got that next one that's, you know, right at 19:10, or gonna finish in the top 40. And so it makes it trickier.
Mm-hmm.
The calculus is a little harder for us to break through that top three. So what we have to kind of hope is one of those teams is going to really press hard and try to win gold, and then kind of fall flat.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Dubuque Senior. They won another qualifying meet at Dubuque with 31 points. And Waukee Northwest won the meet at Council Bluffs with 38 points, and they've now moved into the number five spot in the final rankings. And you're obviously familiar with Northwest. I'm sure you've seen them a few times this year. How do they kind of compare with you guys?
Yeah, they're an interesting squad because they've kind of flown under the radar. They had some hiccups early, some younger girls developing and growing still. So for them, being rated fifth and the very last ranking being your highest ranking, it's a sign that things are going very well at the right time of the season. I know they have one girl with some health issues. That's right there now in a really good spot. I won't say which spot or what her name is, but she's running very well. I think that we've got a pretty good cushion on them. Like, our one is going to beat their one. Our second runner is going to beat their second runner. Their third girl might beat our third, but then I feel really good about our fourth and our fifth beating their fourth and our fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're winning four of the five slots. I think we're ahead of them if we run true to form, and I think they finished back in fifth if they run true to form.
Mm-hmm. Well, this will be the fourth state meet appearance for both Annika and Bella, while Haley, Julia, and Kylie also have some previous state meet experience. You know, you have to feel like that'll be beneficial on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, actually, it's Julia's fourth state meet as well. She ran as a freshman, kind of got into that last spot. Sophomore year, she just didn't finish the meet. So that might be how that slipped off from you. Definitely has some experience. She's grown a lot and she's learned a lot this season to learn how to bounce back from not finishing that big meet. She had another two meets this year where she didn't finish, and we've pinpointed it, and we have a really good idea of where that is. Haley, it's her second state meet, and Kylie's as well, and they both kind of went through the first one, and they have some mistakes that they want to correct, and I know that they're going to be able to pull that off. Haley is just, she's just having fun right now, just mm-hmm. out there and kind of snuck on everybody across the state. I think the first podcast the Track Coaches Association put out called her, you know, the surprise runner of the year, and it kind of fits.
Well, yeah, let's talk about some of your individuals and their goals, because I'm sure that they've set some. This will be the final race of Annika's career, and she'll be looking to finish, you know, even higher at state after improving her placing every year. She was 39th as a freshman. She was 16th in 2022 and then 9th last year. She's currently ranked second behind Piper Messerly of Dallas Center Grimes, who finished 6 seconds ahead of her at the state qualifying meet. You know, do you feel like Piper, you know, is the one that Annika will have to beat, or do you feel like the race is a little more wide open than that?
It's pretty wide open. There's five girls. So we've got Piper and Annika and Woodley, who we talked about already.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Gall of Cedar Falls is a freshman. She has only lost to the 3A Marissa Faraday, who is tops in the state by over a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nakia Olivieri mm-hmm. of Waterloo, who was top five a year ago. Those would be top five, and then, you know, Drew Beeson of Ankeny is probably sitting right there in that spot sixth, and she always runs a really good race at the end of the season. So throw her into that top six, and now you've got a good mix. I'd have to say Charlie, just because she's seen these other girls head-to-head, and she's performed very well against them. Annika got to watch Charlie race up at the Wartburg meet on a Saturday when she did a college visit. We didn't see that one, but she has some thoughts about Charlie and her race strategy. We've seen Woodley a couple times in a row, and we have some thoughts on her strategy. Piper is very efficient, very good. She's got the better of Annika two times in a row by 6 seconds. So that's a pretty tough one to break through. But Annika has beat Alex Woodley, and she has beat Nakia on the track, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's got Drew, the better of Drew, a couple times this season as well.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you've mapped out a plan for Annika's race. And do you expect any particular runner, you know, to go for the lead, or is it just too unpredictable?
Well, it's always unpredictable. We've seen Alex Woodley the last couple of races just take off at the start and dare someone to go with her. Will she do that again? I don't know. Johnston coaches his girls very, very well. They're very well disciplined, and they always seem to perform at that shining stage. So will she do that again? I don't know. If she does, there'll be girls that go with her, and we'll see some fallout, because that's a pretty torrid pace she takes off on.
Right, right. Well, Annika has a good chance to post the highest finish ever by a Centennial runner. You mentioned her former teammate, Rondi Quash. She placed fifth 2 years ago, and a win for Annika would not only be a great way for her to finish her career, but it would also allow her to tie Emma Gordon for the most wins in a Jaguar career. Emma won all six of her races during her junior year. I know that because you told me. And she went on to have a great career at Iowa, where she was a podium finisher at the NCAA Regionals her senior year. And I know Annika has visited some schools, and I'm sure you feel like she has a bright future ahead of her, too.
Yeah, absolutely. She's got some really attractive offers on the table. She's still talking to some very some Power 4 conference schools as well. So she's not decided. If she were to come out on top and set that state champion mark, that would definitely change some of the calculus on her college decision, that she'd get a few more reach outs as well. That would be a pretty remarkable thing for her to do, to pick up that sixth win. Emma ended up on the podium at NCAA Regionals her senior year, and now she's on the coaching staff for the Hawkeyes. So that tells you how far she's continued to grow and climb mm-hmm. as an athlete and as a person. They trust her to lead collegiate women within their program.
When you mentioned Haley, you know, I don't think anybody on your team has improved as much as her over the last year. And like you said, probably in the state, she placed 69th at last year's meet. But she's been ranked consistently this year, and she's currently sitting in the number 12 spot. You know, I know she told me recently that she didn't want to put too much pressure on herself, but, you know, that top 15 finish is definitely attainable for her, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny. My first year here, we had Kate Smith. And Kate Smith, her freshman and sophomore year, she finished in the 60s as well. And her junior and senior year, she finished 10th and 11th. So it's not unprecedented to have this happen. And so Haley's right there, and she really does look like she's in a good position. If she has a race very similar to how she ran at the state qualifier, she beat some girls that had beat her previously. She ran a really nice race plan, and she's looked really remarkable the last couple days in practice over the weekend as well. And she has a very real shot to end up on the podium.
One of your other seniors certainly will cap off some great careers as well. Bella has a chance to be a four-time top 50 finisher. She was 48th as a freshman, 22nd in 2022, and then 39th last year. And she's verbally committed to Illinois State, and I'm sure she's got some big goals for this race as well.
Yeah, absolutely. She's one that she's a competitor through and through, and she generally shines at the biggest stage. We saw last year at the state track meet how she willed herself to a medal in the 1500. She carried the D-Med to a medal in the won the distance medley, and same thing, she anchored that 4x8 with a remarkable performance as well. She shines on the big stage, and I guess top 50, gosh, I think she's going to be top 40 for us at that race. And going down from her, you look at Julia, and Julia probably was, I don't know, 102nd as a freshman or something. I mean, it was up there, and then didn't finish as a sophomore, maybe in the 70s as a junior. I think she has a shot to be in the top 40 as well.
Well, yeah, Julie and Ellie were right there with Bella at the state qualifying meet. Do you expect those three to try to run together again on Friday?
I sure hope so. It gives Julia so much confidence to run next to Bella. Those two have been best friends for years and years and years, and played club soccer for half a decade together as well. And, came to us through that and kept working hard. And when she runs with Bella, she doesn't let up because she knows how much it means to both of them. And then Ellie has really come on the last 4 or 5 weeks. She really flipped a switch in her mindset and has continued to perform and do well. To me, it doesn't matter which one of those three comes out ahead of the other two. If they're within 10 spots of each other, I feel really good about where we're going to end up.
And you mentioned your other runners there earlier too, Trinity and Kylie. Of course, Trinity's had a very successful freshman season. I'm sure you feel like those two girls can step up and score for you if they have to.
Absolutely. They both have been a top 5 scorer on the season for us, and possibly even a top 4 scorer at one point when we were shorthanded a girl or two. So definitely they can do that. Trinity just ran a lifetime best a week ago, and she has a lot of big race experience. She went on and ran the USATF Nationals as an 8th grader. And so she was in a race with 400 girls at a championship caliber meet. We've got that experience down at Rimrock where we ran against 30-some teams. And, that's 220 girls on a hard course. So, and then Kylie, the same thing. Got a lot of confidence in her. She performed very well last spring as well in the championship moments. And she looks strong, and she's just a neat kid to get out and get after things. And so we've got a game plan for her. To kind of correct a couple things that popped up for her at state qualifying. We kind of reflected on when have your absolute best races been. And it's always been where she's been coming from behind, and she just starts passing people and building confidence. So I look for her to kind of have more of a relaxed start and then just finish like mad.
Now, the Aiken coaches mentioned the other night that they have some alternates ready to go if something should happen. So do you take some alternates up there with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. We take a pretty sizable crew, more than what other teams do.
Mm-hmm.
We also do a pretty good rotation through the year to give kids opportunities. We want kids to stay hungry. We want kids to have the confidence that if they're called upon, that they can do it. We want those younger kids to say, well, this is what I'm striving for next year and things like that. So we've picked out our top alternate is going to be Greta Denhartog.
Mm-hmm.
She's little sister to Cora, and Cora ran the state the last 2 years. Was our third finisher a year ago. She had surgery in the summer and was not able to get completely back. She's looking really close, and she's still looking to run in college as well, Cora is. And Greta's right there, and she's ready. And we ran an alternates race where I kind of paced the girls on the state qualifying course, and she turned in, her and Ella Campbell both turned in really respectable times, right within a few seconds of Kylie. And Tally Kluger did as well. So we had three girls that looked really strong. We're going to take an extra 7 to 9 extra girls just
sure
to make a good group, and kids who have trained with them all summer and all fall and kind of deserve that atmosphere.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it, and good luck on Friday. I'll see you up there.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny Centennial Boys Runners, Colin Moll and Braden Vanderwilt, and then we had Centennial Girls Coach Eric Cogdill. I appreciate the time from all of those folks here. It's a busy week for them as they get ready for a Friday state meet up there in Fort Dodge. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.